David. I've missed you the last couple of weeks. My family and I have been on vacation. I don't need that. I'll just stand today. You're going, ooh, he's not bringing out that. He must be preaching short today. No, it's just a little different today. Some of you are going, oh, man, you're back, because we had such a great sermon from Bill Sword 2 weeks ago, and Don Baker shared her story last week. You again? Yeah, me again. But, hey, Bill, thanks so much for filling in the gap while I was away. Amazing sermon that got great, great feedback. And I know Don Baker and her family, Kendrick and her girls, are on the road today. But I just heard wonderful, wonderful responses from her sharing her story this past week, and just so appreciative of you loving them and listening so well. We had a great week away. When I'm on vacation with my family, I love to sleep, I love to eat, I love to play with my kids and hang out with my wife, and I love to read. And when we were away, I read 3 books. One of the books that I read, I want to share from this morning a little bit, just a thought that's just galvanized one of the themes that came forth out of our strategic planning session. Some of you may be visiting today. If you're visiting, welcome. I'm glad that you're here. You've picked a great, great Sunday to come and visit, because what you're going to experience this morning is really an understanding of where we are as a church, where we've been, and really where we're going. The first hour before this, we have early morning and late morning life group hours, and our 8:15 life group heard the first part of the presentation before this hour that we're in right now. If you weren't a part of that, I really want to encourage you to make a commitment as soon as we're finished in here to hang around and then to be a part of the late life group hour. We're going to meet right in this room, and we'll go over the same information that we went over in the 8:15 hour, so that you'll have a really good handle on where we're headed as a church. You're going, wow, that's a lot. Yeah. And three themes came out of our strategic planning sessions that the whole church was invited to. About 60 church members took part in that on June the 3rd and 4th. And these three main strategic initiatives that came forth that are really going to be our focus for the next 12 months of this ministry year were, number one, communicate. And you're going, wow, you're spending a lot of time this morning talking about what took place at strategic planning. Yeah, because one of our top three initiatives were what? Communicate. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to communicate. We're trying to make sure that the system we have to communicate, which isn't perfect, gets better and better and better. The second strategic initiative that came forth out of those strategic planning days was to continue to focus on growing strong families. We've been talking about that. I preached a sermon series about that, about faith. It starts at... Some of you were here, you remember, that's awesome. Faith doesn't start at church, faith starts at home. And the church walks alongside you to grow strong families, to make sure that our kids have deep roots that are planted deep and nurtured with the Word of God and the people of God walking together to develop our kids, to develop our families. So we're going to continue to focus on that in the coming year, and we'll talk more about that in the days to come. But the third initiative that came forth was revolving around this word culture. Say that word with me, culture. And every place you go, every home you're in, every office that you're in, every neighborhood you're in, every church you're in has a culture. Cultures can either be healthy or they can be unhealthy. And so one of the things that we really want to focus on this year is being a part of developing, creating, building a healthy church culture. And so I go away on vacation, I'm thinking about those three things, I'm reading books, and one of the books that I read was Art Briles' book called Looking Up. Now, Art Briles is the head football coach at Baylor. I'm a huge Baylor fan. I've been saving this. I got this book at Christmas knowing I've got a vacation coming someday, and I'm going to read this book. I love to read biographies about great leaders. Art Briles is a great leader, and you may not be a football fan, but you can appreciate great leaders, and Art Briles is a great leader. Art Briles has spent his whole life in Texas, growing up in Texas. Small West Texas town is where he grew up in, playing football. His dad was a high school football coach and the principal. He played major college football at University of Houston. His parents were killed in a car wreck going to the Cotton Bowl to watch him play when he was at Houston. It was a tragedy in his life. And his story is about how he took tragedy and just began to move forward and learn the lessons that his, take the lessons that his dad taught him, his mom taught him, and look up and keep moving forward. The byline is called My Journey from Tragedy to Triumph. And so I'm reading his story, and if you know anything about Art Briles, man, the guy just is a master at going to a place that has a culture that needs to change, changing it and leading them to be winners. From small 1A football high schools all the way up through the ranks. He ends up in the late 80s at a school called Stephenville High School. Stephenville hadn't been to the state playoffs since 1952. He got there in the 80s. And by the time he left, he had changed the culture. They had won 4 state championships and beat their rival Brownwood for the first time in 26 years. And so I'm like, man, I'm really diving into this book. And midway through it, he's talking in here about culture change. That's the title of one of his chapters, Culture Change. And so I've talked to you before about how the Lord just kind of speaks to me in themes at different times. And everywhere I'm reading or listening or studying, I see themes emerge. And I know, well, we've been talking about creating a healthy culture here at Arapahoe Road. And so I'm reading this biography. I can't get away from it. And culture change is the name of this chapter. And he's talking about changing a culture. He says, changing a culture starts long before a team actually takes the field. The players who return to the football program, he's at Stephenville, in 1988 offseason, saw a noticeable difference right away. And it had nothing to do with X's and O's, playbook schemes, or personnel. Said the most obvious change when Coach Briles took over came in the weight room. He talked about how he really, everywhere he's gone, he's instituted this weight training program. You got to get stronger. You got to be disciplined. You got to push through the pain. And so this is the off season before his first real season ever gets there. And in the off season, it's kind of like, well, we're going to kind of kick back. That's probably why Stephenville hadn't gone to the playoffs since 1952, because they just kind of kicked back. And so he goes into the weight room, and the story goes, he sees these two big linemen, and they're lifting 225, and they're kind of flexing and kind of, you know, showing themselves off. Listen to what it says. The bar had about 225 pounds on it, meaning two plates of 45 pounds on each side, along with a 45-pound bar. Either to make the point, show these kids who was in charge to flex his own muscles, or perhaps all of the above, Art Briles chuckled at both of these players. He grabbed two more 45-pound plates, increasing the bench press to 315 pounds. He got down on the bench without a spotter, and he did 10 reps. Not only more weight, but more reps than any player was currently lifting. While typically a place of yelling, screaming, grunts, and cheers, the weight room was replaced by silence. Coach Briles got up, smiled at both the players, and he said, if I'm the strongest guy in here, we got a problem. I think y'all got some work to do. And he walked out, and I was just like standing there going, yeah. Or actually, I'm reading it, and I just kind of stood up on the deck going, man, where's a weightlifting bar? I hadn't benched in like 10 years, but I just want to like lift weights or something. So there wasn't any bench press around, so I kept reading. Check this out. This is awesome. The players in the off-season conditioning program quickly found out something about Coach Briles and his new workout plan. It didn't always involve actual weights. In fact, some of the toughest drills and exercises the players did had nothing to do with the barbell or the bench. One rainy day in the spring of 1988, Coach introduced his players to the parallel bars or the monkey bars that were located in an indoor workout facility. It was a place known as the Green Room. It featured a turf field where the team often practiced to beat the heat and escape the foul weather. On this day, it was all about the monkey bars, hanging 10 feet off the ground, forcing most of the players to stand on a box in order to reach them. Linebacker Keith Graham, who was entering his sophomore season, got any sophomores in here? A few sophomores, yep, right over there. Okay, linebacker Keith Bram, who was entering his sophomore season, recalled the workout. We got up on the box and the monkey bars, and nobody could really do it. We were skipping some of the drills. We were awful. That first day, we all ended up with dime and quarter-sized blisters on our hands. We were bleeding so profusely from our hands, we couldn't even hold the pen when we went to class later that day. It was a mess. The phone started ringing that night at the Bryles house. Art fielded several calls from parents, some of them very upset with the type of work being asked of their kids during the off-season, a time that had typically been more laid back. The next morning arrives. The players were chatting amongst themselves and wondering what's going to be on the agenda for today's workout. The consensus was that all the high volume of calls and the complaints ought to have given them a break from having to get on those monkey bars again. And moments later, Coach Bryles gathered all the boys in the green room. He walked them over to a 16 by 16 garage door that led out to the parking lot. And just in front of the door was an oversized cardboard box. Moments later, the coach yanked down on the chain. The garage door lifts up, revealing about 20 to 30 of the players' parents standing in the parking lot outside the field house, several of whom had made phone calls the night before. Bryles said, "Guys, I know you're hurting. Those blisters on your hands hurt. Here's a pair of workout gloves. Or there's your mom and dad. Make your decision right now, because we're about to close this door and get back to work." Athletes didn't know what to think. Many of them were surprised to see their parents standing out there during work and during school hours. Some of them weren't sure if they were supposed to go or not. Sure enough, there were some of the players who walked out the door and they didn't come back. I think that was one of the huge turning points in the program. Graham said, "If you weren't here to make the cut, then get out right now." And some of them got on right then, and you know what? That was a good thing. The brave ones who stayed put on their gloves and fought through the workout, which was designed to increase and improve upper body strength. And along the way, it improved some mental toughness as well. Man, at that point, I'm like, somebody give me some workout gloves. I mean, I was on the cruise just going, does anybody have any gloves? I just want some gloves. I just want to like go down and not really work out, but I'll get some more pizza with my gloves. But man, I was just like, golly, that is awesome. Workout gloves. Be a part. Get ready to go. Or go be a part somewhere where you can. And I was just thinking about that and reading about that and just going, man, what a great metaphor. What a great metaphor. And as I'm praying and thinking, I'm remembering what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9. He's talking to some people. He's inviting people to follow him. And in Luke chapter 9, verse 61, he's invited people to follow him. And it says, "I'll come, Jesus, I'll follow you, but just let me first run home to say goodbye to my family." Verse 62, Jesus says, "Listen, if your hand is on the plow, but your eyes are looking backward, then you're not fit for the kingdom of God." Man, I just put my Bible down and I read that, and I just sat there, and I thought about the story from Coach Bryles, and I thought about what Jesus said about your hand being on the plow, and it made me think about my granddad, Bill Ford. He's a West Texas farmer and rancher, passed away a few years ago. But one of the images I have in my mind when I would go out to visit Granddaddy Ford and Grandmama Ford was the cowboy that he was, the hat that he'd wear, the jeans he'd put on, the Wrangler shirt with the pearl snaps before it was cool. And he had these work gloves, had a little red bead on them, and he'd do like that. And boy, he'd get behind his plow, his tractor, and he'd plow. And you know what he never did? He always looked forward. Grandaddy Ford would talk to me about a man that plows a straight row. Plows a straight, man, you look forward. I thought about that. And I thought about, man, what would it look like if we all just decided to get our work gloves and go to work? You know, what does that have to do with culture? I say that to set up a 17 minute and 39 second video by a pastor named Andy Stanley. And we watched this 17 minute and 39 second video at Strategic Planning, June the 3rd and 4th. And this word culture will become a new vocabulary word in our vernacular at Arapahoe Road. And even though you may not have been there on those 2 days back in early June, and there's no way to recreate everything that happened then, this was a major piece. And so we made the decision to show you this video so that you could have a context of the conversation regarding culture. And so would you sit back for the next 17 minutes and 39 seconds, turn your attention here, and then I'll follow up, and we'll be dismissed in a moment. Watch this. Into that. We never once said, and we're going to show this video, and then we're going to manufacture this conversation. That was a video that I showed with our staff a few months ago. And it came back to my mind at the end of day one when we're just going, what is God doing here? Because the conversations are going in directions that we didn't really plan on, but we're just going with it. We're just trying to be in tune with the Spirit and go, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? What are you saying through your people? We've been praying leading up to these 2 days going, speak, Lord, show us, Lord. What do you want us to do? And he began to do it. And so at the end of that first day, as we're getting feedback on how we believe that God's been leading, and this culture word keeps coming up, that video came back to my mind and said, let's show it. And we showed it. And it was like a galvanizing moment for so many people in that room. We continued to process it with our elders. I love what Todd Eagold has to say. But this isn't from Todd Eagold. This is from Kendrick Baker, who's not here today, and I knew he wasn't going to be here. I said, Kendrick, can I share what you wrote? Because when you talk about culture, it is, like he said, it's kind of squishy like Jell-O and like trying to have a conversation with your teenage daughter. One keeps slipping out of your hands, the other keeps changing the subject. And so we're trying to wrap our head around culture. And if you'll hang around for the next hour, if you weren't in the 8:15 hour already, we're going to give you some tangible helps to get your mind around culture. But listen to what Kendrick Baker emailed to the elders, and we're just processing this. I think it's so good. He said, we've talked a lot about culture. In my opinion, what we're really talking about is more of the spirit of the church, not the Holy Spirit, he clarifies. Our church has in many ways not exhibited the fruit of the, quote, spirit of life, but the deeds of the flesh, as we see in Galatians chapter 5. Or perhaps another way of thinking of it is that our mind has been set on the flesh instead of the Spirit, as Paul talks about in Romans 8. or Colossians 3. We've not been walking in a manner of the worthy of the calling which we have been called, as Paul writes about in Ephesians 4. We don't merely have an unhealthy culture. He nails it here. Get your amens ready. We don't merely have an unhealthy culture. We're a sinful people. If you're not sure if you are, you are. You being me too. We and me. We're a sinful people who are failing to walk in the Spirit by taking on the new self the way Scripture teaches us to. As such, it's not something we can fix simply by choosing to, quote, change our culture. That's something in our power. But we need to repent and take on the new self and put to death the deeds of the flesh in the Spirit with our active participation, but in the Spirit's power. That's not something one does because he's told to. It's something one does. Check this out. It's something one does when he or she tastes and sees that the Lord is good. Experiencing a perfect gracious love from his Creator that compels an obedient love in return. Each of us, including me and those I'm writing to, needs to abide in the love and pray about what deeds of the flesh that each of us need to put to death in the Spirit for the glory of God. Since step one in all this is to experience that love and mercy from God, perhaps, I love this, perhaps the way I can encourage others to do the same is to obey God by graciously loving them just like he does so that they can join in the process as well. Like I said, it's still forming in my mind, but I felt like I needed to share that. Sorry for being so wordy, Kendrick. Number one, if you know Kendrick, he's anything but wordy. So Kendrick, thank you for sharing your words. And number two, what I hear Kendrick saying is, we need to be a people who are offering grace. We need to be a people who are examining our own lives. We need to be a people who are repenting where repentance needs to take place, so we can move forward. To which I go, amen. Where are the work gloves for me to put on? And some of you are going, oh, wait a minute. Is this where he's fixing to say, grab your work gloves or there's the door? Because that's what Browse said, right? Well, here's what I would say. And I'm going to talk more about this in the next hour. Don't do anything yet. But invest the next 50 days in asking God what he wants you to do. What would happen? And I'll talk more about this in the next hour. What would happen if everybody, starting today, June 29th, entered into 50 days of prayer and fasting, asking the Lord, look in me, God. Is there anything not right with me that needs to be made right? Is there anything unhealthy in me that needs to be pointed out that I may give it to you and crucify the flesh that I might become one as you are wanting me to come one with you and with these brothers and sisters that call Arapahoe Road home? I believe if you and I will enter into an intentional 50-day walk today through August the 17th, praying and fasting and asking the Lord, God, show me if there's any unhealthy way in me and show me where you want me to pick up my work gloves and become a part of creating not only a healthy church, but a healthy home where faith can flourish. And you know what? If after 50 days of prayer and fasting, you're not ready to pick up your work gloves and say, I'm all in, then I would say, go find that place where you can. Go find that place where you can. Because Jesus said, follow me. And just for clarification, I'm not him. But he did say, I'm going this way. And he did say, he who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You know the first thing that Art Briles did when he was announced as the head coach at Baylor? Within the first 60 seconds of his press conference, he thanked Grant Taff, Dave Campbell, and Frank Fallon. And you're going, who in the world are those three people? They're the founders and the builders of the football program at Baylor. And so it's always appropriate to remember and honor those who've gone before you. But it's not a good strategy to keep looking over your shoulder to build the vision for the future while you look behind you. You honor the past, but you move forward. It's time to move forward, men and women. It's time to move forward. And I'm not asking you to move forward today. I'm asking you to pray and fast for 50 days. Every family will have the opportunity to get a little book like this. This is one of the other three that I read on the boat, called I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer. It's easy reading. 79 pages. Some of them look like that. That means there's less than 79. What if every person read this little book and prayed through it over the next 50 days? Open themselves up, saying, God, is this what you want me to be like? I don't believe there's a person in this room that would say, I don't want to be a part of a church like that. Because what this outlines very simply is what a healthy church culture looks like. Those who are a part of the 8:15 Life Group Hour have already gotten their books. Some of you may have picked up two copies per family. If you have, would you bring one of those back? We're probably going to need to order some more. And over the next 50 days, read it, process it, pray through it, talk about it with your family, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? Am I going to pick up my work gloves and be a part of this church? Or do I need to find another one? And then as I told a church member this morning at the end of our time, then just go do whatever God tells you to do. Just go do whatever God tells you to do. And you'll be doing the right thing. So if you weren't in the 8:15 hour, I invite you to hang around, because we're going to talk a few more nuts and bolts in the next hour. Be a little bit more informal, but it's information you need to hear. Before we do that, and Phil's going to lead us in a benediction out of here, I want to pray for our students that are heading to camp later today. Scott Partridge and some of his team are already there. I know Kelly is heading out today. Kelly, you're heading out, right? If you're going to camp today, would you meet me right down here? And not only if you're going to camp, if you've got students that are going to camp, moms and dads, would you meet me down here? And not only that, but we had a Vacation Bible School video earlier. If you're willing to pray for Vacation Bible School, would you gather right down here too? In other words, come on. Right now, come on. I want us just gathering around these altar steps. I want us to get familiar with these altar steps. And I want to pray for our students heading to camp. I want to pray for our children that are going to be a part of VBS. I want to pray for our community. And just ask the Lord to do great things at camp next week and at Vacation Bible School in the days to come. And then, Phil, would you lead us out in our benediction? Let's pray together. I just want to give a prayer and a blessing over you students. Lord, would you just do incredible things in the lives of our students this week? We pray that your spirit would move in a mighty, mighty way, that you'd raise up leaders, Lord, in powerful, powerful ways. Lord, that you would bring students that don't know you into a relationship with yourself and those who already are into a deeper walk with you. Lord, we pray for our leaders that are going this week. I thank you for Scott and for his team. Would you use them in a powerful way? Lord, would you give them traveling mercies there and back? Speak to them in great ways, God. Lord, for our vacation Bible school that's on the horizon, we pray that you would use those days to draw children unto yourself, to reach families, and Lord, that you'd bring children and families to know you through vacation Bible school. Lord, I know there are other vacation Bible schools that are taking place across our cities and other churches, and we pray for those other churches, Lord, all over our city, that you'd do a great work in their vacation Bible schools. Lord, we're all in this thing together, and we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we pray that you'd raise up volunteers to serve and to pour themselves out at our vacation Bible school. Lord, all of us pulling together can make a great impact in our community. And we pray that you'd use us in that way. Lord, thank you for the way that you are at work, the way that you have been at work, and the way that you will be at work in all of our lives in the days to come. Lord, I look forward to unpacking a little bit deeper in the next hour what it means for us to be a church that's walking into 50 days of prayer and fasting together. And I pray that those who are on the fence about staying for that next hour would choose to do so before they head to lunch. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in our church. It's your church, and we want to follow you to healthy, healthy days of productivity and fruitful ministry. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.